But then also, if you're not from their community, you're just a worker. So even though they'll pay you more, it's...
For you, that's totally different because you're actually part of the organization.
Yeah. It was surreal.
Yeah.
Do you find a difference between how you're treated from community to community?
Yes.
How so?
So for me, I wanted to make it here where I can also be a bit of myself. You know, I could put on the voice. I could be on radio and be that guy.
What companies are those and how can new DJs take advantage of that?
Expecting to get paid or something and then people come and tell you, I got one deal. Like even my best friends, they need me. I go, listen.
Now, what's been the highest paying gig you've gotten? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Hustle Over Everything podcast. This is the podcast where we receive stories, tips, and tactics from entrepreneurs who have done it. I'm Alex.
And I'm Ono Sinde.
And today we have somebody that has 100% done it. We have the DJ Akil D in the building. Akil, what's up with you, bro?
What's up, man? I'm here.
Welcome to the...
Thanks for having
you know
me.
What's heard that? You feel me? You know, I'm going to take off these headphones. The mics are rocking. Yo... All right, so the first question is a little bit of an icebreaker.
Okay.
What song do you think, and we'll go around the room and talk about it, can always get the party started?
This podcast is brought to you by Nyorai Cellars. If you didn't know, Nyorai Cellars is the only Black-owned wine company in Canada. Right now, I'm holding the Rosé, the 2021 Rosé bottle. This drink is amazing. I mean, it's perfect for those dishes such as seafood where you're cooking shrimp, you're having some pasta, whatever it is you're having, grab a bottle of Nyorai Cellars, the rosé. If you're having a date night with your significant other, you know what to grab? Grab the Nyorai. Whatever it is, grab the Nyorai. I mean, you will not go wrong with this wine. It's perfect for everybody. If you've never drank wine, this is a great bottle for you. Or even if you're a wine expert, you're an aficionado and you drink everything. I mean, you cannot go in Nyorai. I'm telling you, this wine is really, really good. And even though I'm boosting it this hard, is because I really love drinking it and I'm someone who loves to drink wine. So whatever it is, whatever the special occasion, check out Nyorai. They have Sauvignon Blancs, they have Rieslings. I'm holding the Rosé right now. They have a wide variety of different collections of different wines you can choose from. Make sure to check them out. The link is going to be in the description. Check them out. Order a crate for yourself or you can send a gift to someone that you want to gift some wine to. You can't go wrong with that. So Nyorai Cellars, check them out. Link will be in the description. And now back to the show.
Oh, man. What demographic?
That's what I'm saying. Any demographic. That's like, you know that like I can play this. It's old faithful.
I mean, a lot of things from 90s bad boy era will kind of always work. You got your puffy, hypnotized. Like those things always work. Mm. A lot of those classics are good. They kind of transcended the generations.
Yeah.
I can't think of just one song that works with everyone. I haven't figured that one out yet.
I have a theory. I want to hear y'all's. What song are you going to?
Am I recommending?
Yeah. You just get
regardless whatever party it is. I always want to hear "This Is How We Do It."
Funny, there's a lot of people that don't like that song.
What?
They're just tired of it.
But yo,
I like it. Like
it's a classic song.
It is. It's a classic.
It's a classic.
It works 75% of the time. But it also is timing.
It's timing when you play the track.
You can't play too early.
Yeah.
You also can't play too late. But there's a narrow point. It's right there. That and Return of the Mac.
Yeah.
Songs everybody loves.
Say that too, Return of the Mac, or
also songs that a lot of people hate.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Interesting. Yeah.
Isaac,
March Madness. You think that's gonna work everywhere though?
Yeah, because it's for people in my age group, so like 28. So I'd say when I go to parties, it's from people from 25 to 28, 20 to 28.
Okay.
And for white, black, whatever.
March Madness.
What's that That was it. Does it ever make a real moment?
Bro, I don't
it's curtains.
I do not see that happening,
Isaac just said
bro.
March Madness.
Like, there's so many crowd demographics that I, that cannot work in, like an Indian crowd. That's not working in. Oh, the parties that you go to. Got you. You know what I think works, bro? Some Michael Jackson. You know what I'm saying?
MJ works too.
MJ, bro, yes. MJ, MJ will get the party started in like most cases. Like people will start vibing to it a little bit. Get the party, remember, I'm very particular. Get the party started.
Yeah.
I'm not saying turn it up, you know what I'm saying, to a high point. But MJ will usually be like a, something like, all right, we can start vibing a little bit, you know. You can start there, and then all right, let me move from this. And
everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. To it. Like, it's familiar.
It's familiar.
Yeah.
Where? So you have a popular phrase that has come through the pod. And I want to ask you, bro. What's your brotopsy? You know what I'm saying?
Like how I was raised, my background,
exactly.
All of that.
Exactly. Talk to me.
My dad's from Antigua. My mom's from Montserrat.
Okay.
I was born here. I'm a Toronto native.
Blue Jays all the way.
All day.
Yeah.
East End, Scarborough. Scarborough's finest. Scarborough's the best. Tell me anything about Scarborough. And if it's bad, I don't want to hear it. Scarborough's the place to be. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Malvern. Went to a few schools out there. Like, that's it. Yo, mm-hmm. I'm Scarborough all day.
Nice.
Well, definitely. I'm from Scarborough too. You know, shout out Scarborough. All right. What was the first time you got into DJing?
Officially, I got into DJing 2015.
Mm-hmm. Does Connor have something to do with the DJ?
Connor's my guy that taught me. Mm. It was me and Shamir Anderson. The two of us were going to go learn to DJ. Connor went to go teach him. Shamir also brought me in. We learned at the same time. Connor's our guru. Like Connor Cuts. That's the guy. He taught me how to actually use the system, count it out, mix, good blends, everything like that. 2015, we started College Street Bar, doing a few parties that way. I realized I can make money this way. I also realized I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I also realized I'm kind of good. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, you just hit the mark on something, just run with it. Mm-hmm. Why try to overthink it and everything else? So I took that and just took off.
Was it like natural skill, or was it something that you actually worked hard to become good at?
Natural skill in the sense that I've always been around music.
Yeah.
I love music. I live and die for music. My family's into arts, dancing, drumming, singing, all that stuff. So just growing up, I know music.
Yeah.
So when you start to control the music, some things get natural for you. Mm-hmm. But you got to find the way that works for you, how to understand it, how to figure out how you want to mix it, and then counting it and just where are you blending it, right?
Yeah.
No, that's huge. What was your first check?
Say again?
What was your first check?
My first check? Mm-hmm. I was playing at the bar. I think we walked away with like $200 each.
And then you felt like the man.
I felt like I got something. You know what I mean?
So you can keep at this for
and
you keep growing.
Well, I made some money. This wasn't too bad. Let's try this again.
Yeah.
Let's try it again. Make another bit of money. Okay. I mean, it's on top of the work money. So it's like, whatever. Have fun. Have some fun with it.
It's like a nice little side hustle on top of it.
Then you start to realize you're making more money this way than you are at the other job.
Yeah.
So why am I focused on the other job more than I'm focused on this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is getting to the big jobs a matter of like accumulating a lot of gigs at certain spots where you can say, I've been DJing at this many bars or at this many type of events, that means I command this price? Or is it a level of skill that you show, okay, listen to my demo of this type of thing? Like, what really equates to getting like the more?
It's a bit of all of that. Definitely skill has something to do with it.
Yeah.
Because you can get the big gig, but if you don't have the skill, you're not going to maintain the big gigs. Mm-hmm. Playing the consistency is another side of it, because you just network and you meet people and you get the hours, the repetition, the practice. You get to see the reaction from people's faces to know if you're actually doing a good job, if you're if you're playing the right music. The other one is networking. It's knowing people, using your resources, and getting in the door. Kind of just making the right connections that are going to get you the bigger gigs. Mm-hmm. Some people have been DJing for years and they stayed in the same place because they're always dealing with the same people. You got to get outside of that circle, start to touch the other people over there, mm-hmm. get over there, see what money's over there. Then you can start to demand the prices because A, you've shown your worth. You've made the network to say, I know these kind of people, I can connect you here and here. And then you could kind of raise your prices accordingly and yeah. start making the bigger money, the more, the I like to say the secured money. We're not dealing with promoters every day. Mm-hmm. Like we're making the proper money. Mm-hmm.
So you just said getting out of that circle, and a lot of entrepreneurs do get caught in that cyclical cycle of going to the same people, serving them, and then just taking that money home. What was your strategy of getting out of that circle?
Or did you have one? I didn't start in the circle. Mm. So for me, it was, I was just available. So when I started DJing, I took everything. I didn't care if it was a first birthday, a 60th birthday, if it was a whole night at a bar or just coming in and opening for the first hour.
Yeah.
I just took everything. So I started getting connected to just more people mm-hmm. in general. Mm-hmm. Then I started tapping into other networks that I had. Mm-hmm. So being available, somebody asked you to kind of do some mixing at a gala over here. I'm available. I'll take it. I believe I can do it. I'll take it. Mm-hmm. And then just proving your worth there. So when it came back to the regular, I mean, I'm West Indian, my West Indian background. When it came to stepping into West Indian bars and everything, and people are like, you DJ? I was like, I've been doing this for 3 years. You didn't know? Yeah, yeah, and now they're asking me for stuff, but I'm like, but I actually have more stuff over here. Mm-hmm. I'm actually over here now. I love doing that stuff for my community, but I also got to go where the money is for me at this point.
Yeah.
So
do you find a difference between how you're treated from community to community?
Yes.
How so?
I find sometimes in our own community, we're taken for granted. Mm. Everyone just expects you to not have your stuff together. Mm-hmm. And then they also don't want to pay you the most all the time.
Mm-hmm. They feel like they can negotiate with you for
favorable
deal.
Hit you up on Thursday for their party they're promoting for the last month and a half to DJ Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm not free.
Yeah.
And even if I am free, I'm insulted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you didn't think about me before.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, other communities, they treat you because now you're a person that works. But then also if you're not from their community, you're just a worker. Mm. So even though they'll pay you more, it's
like you're, dance, boy. You stay there, do your thing.
Yeah.
And we'll do our thing. And we're over here.
So it's like they appreciate you, but it's
transactional.
Exactly.
And the thing is,
it's a business.
Yeah. You expect the community for example, like us to be like, hey, do your thing and we'll pay you too. Yeah. And we'll include you in what we're doing right now.
Exactly.
It's crazy how that happens, man.
Yeah. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah, outside it, sure. Our community, it's, yo, I got you.
Yeah.
You need a drink. You need something else. Like, yo, you need a favor. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. A lot of other communities, when you're there, it's, I got you. Yeah, that's fine.
Here's your money. Yep. Go do your thing and be quiet.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you're done, you know,
you're done.
Pack up and you leave.
Yeah.
And you already got your money. It's done.
Yeah. Now we're speeding ahead. So I want to take a little bit slower because we're going a little bit fast.
So we're going Formula One speed right now.
Yeah. So I want to know a little bit more about you, bro. Like, tell us about what did your parents do?
My mom was a early childhood educator. So she taught daycare and such like that. My dad was his degree is architectural technologist. He was a consultant.
He was a consultant.
Working government. A lot of stuff in Queens Park and whatnot, overseeing a lot of the jobs and that, dealing with the contractors and everything. I grew up all right. Yeah. It was all right.
It's like a middle class type of.
I had benefits.
Yeah. So you're good.
Yeah.
You're all right.
I was good. I went to the dentist regular.
Did you go to like a school or anything, like university, college?
I went to college. I went to Seneca for radio broadcasting.
Okay.
Never graduated.
Never graduated.
Never graduated.
What made you not graduate?
Women, parties, drinking,
high parties. Off the life.
Listen, you can only be dumb and young once. I lived a very fast 20s. Mm-hmm. I was also, me and my friends, we also did music. We had a group, Brothers from Different Mothers. So we did a lot of performing around.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I wasn't performing, we were in the studio working on their music. That just took up too much of my time in the sense that I also gave it too much of my time. Mm. I didn't dedicate as much to making sure all my schoolwork was done. Mm-hmm. And then by the time I was trying to go back to finish everything, mm-hmm. I just realized, you know what? I didn't care as much for it. Mm-hmm. Like I enjoyed what I was learning. I just didn't care for going to school for it anymore.
Well, what was the ambition at that time, right? Because now you're a DJ, you went to study radio. What was the ambition going in to study?
On air.
To be on air.
I wanted to be the guy.
On air personality.
I wanted to be the guy. The guy.
The guy? Like what kind of guy?
Like morning show, afternoon drive. Like the guy. Toronto's a hard market, man. It's hard. It's hard.
What are the attempts like you were doing to get rejected to?
Later on, I worked for one of the major radio stations in the city. I worked promotions, doing a lot of the on-site activations. I had the opportunity to go in the studio, pre-record, do some overnights. It's not easy.
It's to break in to be like a face of like a television show.
Just to be on air.
Just to be on air in general.
Just to be on air in general. It's not easy to break in, especially in Toronto. Toronto is the biggest market when it comes to radio. They'll usually tell you got to move out to the middle of nowhere, somewhere in the East Coast, somewhere in the West Coast, upper rubber boot, whatever. Mm. I didn't want it. I'm a city boy. Mm. Like, if I'm not making it here, I'm not going. One, if I'm not making it here, I'm going somewhere where there's absolutely none of my culture.
Yeah.
So for me, I wanted to make it here where I can also be a bit of myself. You know, I could put on the voice. I could be on radio and be that guy and just talk like everybody else, you know?
This is 91.9.
Yeah, but it's
this
also
is Akil
like,
on the mic.
I want to be like, I like talking to my people. I want to be able to say, yo, Wagwan.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
you don't want to
code switch. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. But do you feel like if you did those things around in those places, the experience, the being the man on those shows and like doing these...
The possibility could have been there.
Yeah.
But I also did not want to do those things and then be stuck out there. Mm. Less happy than I would be just being here and not getting it.
Okay. So you were set on making it in Toronto.
That's it. It's Toronto or nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't leave home.
Mm-hmm. And I know that hat must hit different going from like, having the hat to actually working for the Blue Jays, you know what I'm saying? But I don't want to, we'll talk about that in a second.
We'll get there.
You know, so you're saying that your parents, you know.
Still in the autopsy.
Yeah. take a step back from autopsy and then you're going to move forward. So you're saying your parents was, you know, in architecture and working with contractors.
Yeah.
What was the toughest part about living in Scarborough?
The toughest part about living in Scarborough?
Yeah.
I don't know. I never saw Scarborough as a tough place to live in. Mm. Growing up, it was all right. Mm. I was fortunate to have lived in good areas in Scarborough where there wasn't a lot of conflict or things going on outside my door. A lot of it where we grew up were also new developments when we got there. Mm. So there wasn't a lot of things it wasn't Eglinton. Like there wasn't things just happening outside because everyone's roaming all the time. It was a much quieter area. So I got to grow up pretty easy in that sense. Mind you get older, you also start to learn of the things that were happening around the corner that you didn't know were happening.
Yeah.
But when you're younger, it's none of your business.
Yep.
So you're not paying attention to it.
Yep.
So yeah, I was fortunate. I was very fortunate.
Bro, that happened to me, yo, where I was playing soccer. I told you the story. Mm-hmm. Where I was playing soccer for a minute, and I'm having the time of my life as a kid. Come to find out, on New Year's, like 2 years ago, my coach was selling during practice. And I had no idea. There was just cops coming back and forth. And I mean, cars coming back and forth to practice and driving off. And I was like, that's interesting. I never peeped it once. Went to the coach's house for a soccer game during the Olympics. And his house was nice. Never peeped it. Never peeped it.
And this guy's a coach.
Oh, and he's a coach. Yeah, yeah. How does Coach make all this money? Yeah, how's he
make all this money? You're coaching 8-year-olds and you're living like this.
Yeah. Word. Exactly. 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 You know, we used to have a picnic where like the whole community would come out and there'd be like a whole scrimmage between different teams. Mm-hmm. There'd be fish fries on the side, patties, you know, for sale. And I'm thinking, yo, this is the greatest time. Meanwhile, it was a whole front. Okay. You know?
So he's organizing the entire thing.
I didn't know if he was organizing it. Because now it's just...
He might be funding it. It's all in the... Funneling the cash and the...
We never know. It could have been like an open, you know, field game that he's charging for on record, you know, and we have never known.
And now I'm like secret fish fries that like there's drugs in there. It's like, hey, you're buying this. Boom, exchange.
You know what I'm saying?
You never know.
You never know.
Wait differently. You can be strategic.
Creative.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's a fact, man. That's a fact. All right. So now let's go ahead. Let's jump to you getting the Blue Jay job. How'd that come about?
That was one of the guys that was helping the Blue Jays kind of find talent, whether it was artists, entertainment, whatever. Good guy that I know, worked with him DJing for years. And he just told me kind of, this is available. I think you should do it. He's like, I can't really control anything, but I can push your name and suggest you. So I did an audition tape, sent it in, thought nothing of it, got a call back and went through the whole process. And it was kind of surreal because at that point, I had hit a major life low just with losing family members. So I was at an all-time low, and then I got a call saying that I got the Blue Jays and I was at a high. So it was like one of those things of just, it was a lot at one time. I'm very happy for it. I just didn't expect it because for me, it wasn't on my mind.
Was that like, as things settled down for you, was that like your making it in Toronto moment?
It wasn't a making it in Toronto moment for me.
Okay.
But it was, I felt appreciated by my city. I felt like, you know,
I felt validated.
I remember going on my birthday, July 31st, I would demand I go to a Blue Jays game. Carabana's happening. I want to be at a Blue Jays game. I remember my parents being not upset, but they're like, really? Child wants to be at a Blue Jays game.
Just care about it. You know, Blue Jays, like baseball to some people is boring because it's slow. Yeah. It takes 5-6 hours.
For some reason, that's where I wanted to be. Yeah. So for me, it was all the years I've just sat here appreciating my city and all these things that we have. Like, I'm here. People are actually not here for me, but they see me. And it felt good. It was nice.
Right? Yeah, because you know a lot of sports fans, right? They give so much to their teams. Like, for example, like you give so much to the Leafs, the Raptors, but when can you ever say, what have the Raptors ever done for me? Right? What have the Leafs ever done for me after all this misery? Like, personally for me, like, what, you know, I'm a diehard Raps fan, right? I guess I can say I was in a commercial for the Raps with my ex at the time. So I guess they did something for me, but for you, that's totally different because you're actually part of the organization now.
Yeah.
It was surreal.
Yeah.
It was surreal. Still looking back at it, I look back and I see videos and I was like, I was actually up there. I was on the big screen. Like, it's still.
As if you're a player.
Yeah. Like, people saw me.
Yeah.
40,000 people plus. I think 50,000 or something like that. Like, It's a lot of people.
And you're rocking the crowd. You're rocking the crowd like you're a player of the team. You know, you gotta, they hit a home run.
It's game time, baby.
You're getting them amped.
It's game time.
Yeah.
It's right. Game time.
I have a question.
Yeah. Not really.
And so what do you think the top, like, what would be the top position for
DJing? For audience members, Isaac's asking, what's the top level in DJing in Toronto?
Top level of DJing in Toronto, it's hard to say. It's really hard to say. So many DJs doing so many amazing things in this city. It's wild because like Four Corners plays for the Raptors all the time. Great, amazing gig. But would I say that's the ultimate gig for a DJ? I don't think so. And then it's, you have people like starting from scratch, goes on tour with artists, right? But then you're not playing in your city. So that's an amazing achievement, but is that the greatest thing that you could do in your city? Because you're on tour in other cities. So it's really hard to gauge what the ultimate gig is. And I think for DJs, it's all different. Some don't aspire to be in clubs, and they rather be entertainment DJs for weddings and other stuff. And like, you get that big wedding for a an athlete. That might be the ultimate for them. Other guys want to be in the club. So when you're rocking an after party for an artist at Rebel, that might be the highlight for you.
Yeah.
So it really all depends on what that DJ's goal is and where they want to be at the end of it.
But like establishment jobs such as the Raptors, the Blue Jays, there's only
it's great.
There's only a few of those.
If we're talking financial now,
yeah,
those jobs are great
because
you're set.
Yeah.
Right? If you're a DJ that plays on the radio every week, sorry, every day, you're set. You have a paycheck. And if you are, if you're an employee of the company, not just an outsourced DJ that's playing, if you're an employee, you have benefits. You're an entrepreneur. You're in an industry where you don't have benefits. So those spots are great because you have your guaranteed money. You can live off, you can build your family, and then you could still do all your other gigs
and make
all your other money.
So,
I mean, it depends on your goal. It really depends on where you want to be.
Do the Blue Jays have like creative control of what you can play?
Because so for there, I wasn't doing the DJing stuff.
You were hosting.
I was announcing.
Okay.
And hosting
on the
screen. They, being in the background and seeing, they're kind of loose, but they do have a bit of control. You got to have some kind of control there, or you just never know what might play. And you want to stick to make sure that it still fits within a certain route.
The boundaries.
Yeah.
Yo, play Nuck If You Buck at the DJ game. You know what I'm saying? For sure. For sure. Nah, that's a fact. That's a fact. You know? All right. That's dope, bro. And I think one thing we didn't mention is like your whole family came out to the opening game, was it?
Yeah. I had family that was visiting out of town. And the majority of them came. They like got almost two whole rows.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's like one of the goals of like having your whole family be like, yeah, this is me.
Yeah.
On my day.
Seeing me out there.
You know what I'm saying? Most definitely. Now, what's been the highest paying gig you've gotten?
Top of my head, 3K over like 2 days.
And how many hours was that really?
8 hours.
8 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's like some people's month.
Damn. got it.
Right? It's great, but then it could be another 2 weeks before I work again. So there's give and take.
So you was in chase mode all the time, or is it now that you're now getting a lot of things coming to you?
Both. I also work smart. I work with some companies that schedule me for gigs. So they book me, and they book me in advance. So I know I have my calendar set. I have so many gigs coming up. Then I have a few other ones that I just do regularly every month. And then you try to chase all the other stuff to try and get gigs. Try and chase to also book your own gigs early so that you're also not relying on the other people to book, so that there's no overhead that they're taking. You just get more. And then you still want to pick up the stuff that just fall in your lap every now and then, right? I mean, it's holiday season for me. December, I kind of take it a bit slower. I just kick back after working from April, May, all the way to November. So I don't really book out my schedule. Then my buddy just hit me up today and was like, what are you doing Friday? I got a gig for you. Well, take it.
Yeah. Is there like a certain threshold of like a number that you're not going to go lower regardless of whatever gig it is?
Yes. Yes. Guaranteed. But I'm also reasonable about what I do charge people sometimes. If I got nothing else to do and I like the vibe of somebody, I take a gig for like pennies. Sometimes you do it just for the love of it. That's what some people forget. There's still a love of DJing. That's for the art. Cool. You got this. Okay. You got a birthday party coming up. I like the vibe of your people. I just met them. You know what, man? Just pay me this. Don't even worry about it. Like, I'm good. I'll bring everything. I got you.
Yeah.
For the fun, for the love, for the art. That's it.
And sometimes those gigs that you take end up yielding something even more later on.
Yeah. I did a guy a favor for next to nothing for his office party. And then the company booked me continuously for the next 2 years. And then they paid me my rate, which was more than what my rate was before. So sometimes you just got to do it.
Yeah, you never know who's in the room.
Never know.
Like every single thing is an audition.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you go in for the love, play your heart out, enjoy yourself, and then see where it goes from there. Yeah. If you do it for the love and it doesn't work out financially,
it is what it is. At least you had some time, good time, played some music, mingled out there, had some beverages.
Yeah. I just don't like doing it expecting to get paid or something, and then people come and tell you, I got one deal. Like, even my best friends, they need me. I go, listen, what's the budget? If it's pro bono, just tell me from now. I don't mind doing
don't
it.
Surprise
I just need
me.
To know.
Yeah.
I just need to know now so I can figure it out in my head.
Isaac
that I'm
is
doing
shifting
this
his
for you. All right?
Yeah. No, man. Isaac shifting his weight back there because you know
he's like, been through it.
As a camera guy, he's just
we've
like,
all been
man. Well, I've been there,
at
man.
At some point, we've all been through it where like you give your services to somebody and then they give you the, man, no, it's kind of tight. Do you mind? And it's like, if you just told me up front, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah. To your point about doing things for free, man, we sometimes it really pans out. You know, we did one gig for free and we ended up getting our first paying client for Uplift from it.
Sick.
You know what I'm saying? And that was like what kicked us off for like our production company, you know? It's so interesting, man. You never know what's on the other side of that opportunity, you know? Let me ask you something, speaking of that. Have you ever taken an opportunity and been in the middle of it and been like, why am I here?
All the time. All the time. All the time. I've done so many weddings where I sit there, I'm like, this is not me. Like, this is, when is this done?
But I'm ready to pack it up.
I am there to do my job. So I got to figure it out at this point. Doesn't matter if you're asking me for all country all night and I don't know country, I'm going to figure it out and make sure you have the best party. And when you start dancing and you're enjoying yourself, I start to enjoy myself. Instant gratification. You're dancing, you're enjoying what I'm doing. Cool. I feel good now. I get a little into it. Still got an hour. You know what I mean? Like, all right, cool. Yeah. But it just makes it a bit easier. But I'm like, I want to go home.
But, you know, like for being a DJ, right? So you're getting called for all these events, weddings, sports, birthday parties. What is the process behind not actually being at the event, but now you're doing your homework, right? Because you've got to be researching music and blending different genres. And you might not like the genre, but how do you know that, wow, this track is actually going to resonate with this type of audience, and then put that all together for that specific event? It's, like, what's the practice that goes on behind it to put something together?
You got to talk to your clients, for one.
Yeah.
Talk to them, get their recommendations on what music they want to hear. Even if the song is a wild choice, you also got to just talk to them like, okay, this song sounds very awkward. Mm-hmm. Are you sure? And they might tell you, well, back when we were in 12th grade, me and my girls, we love this and all our friends. And like, it's just this song that we just love it. Mm-hmm. You just trust them, right? You put it down as, okay, for some reason, I got to play this and I got to figure it out when to play it. And then you also do the research of, it's much easier now because we have Spotify, we have Apple Music, we have YouTube, SoundCloud. Like, you can find music if you just search for it.
Yeah.
So to do the research on a genre is a lot easier. Mm-hmm. I can just plug it in. Half of them generate a playlist for me based mm-hmm. on that one song. You start listening to other songs with that same genre. You start listening to the sound. You download more of it just in case. So you don't have that one song, and you do the research, you learn it, figure it out, play it. You see how they react, play a bit more if they really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Then you also put yourself in a crunch, because if you just start playing that and you don't have enough, you're in a corner. Me personally, I'll play it. I'll play a sample of it. Then I'll try and play it, mix it in with something a bit more familiar, blend the two tracks together, do a mashup. So now it's, you have the song that you love that's awkward, but if I can mix it over here with a Biggie track, mm-hmm. then you guys are all like, oh, so now not just the 15 people that like that, now you have 60 people that like it. And then you go from there, and then you sneak in more stuff later. Mm-hmm. You don't want to play it all at once.
So how do you develop that art of timing? Because I feel like all DJs have like a skill of having a pulse on the party. So you're getting there from like, let's say first quarter, and you're playing till fourth quarter.
Yeah.
How do you judge the rhythm of the party to understand, okay, I got to play this, I got to play that? Are you looking at something? Are you looking at the crowd? Because I feel like it's different for many DJs. And is that a skill you develop over time, or is it just you go off the
it's a skill you develop.
You get from what you're seeing?
It's a skill you develop. When I first started,
yeah,
I won't lie, I bust tunes too early. Way too early. Later on, you start to realize, okay, hold on to some of these for later. Play this type later. You want this energy here. And then it's also repetition. As you go and you're playing, you realize how the crowd develops. If you're a people watcher, you understand people need time to drink. So if the party starts at 10, people aren't going to be really drunk or a little lit until at least 11:30. Then we live in a city where everyone comes in late. But people ain't arriving until 12.
Yeah.
12:30. Yeah. So it's very tough, but it's A, you got to hold back a bit, but you don't want to hold back too much, because if you hold back, you're also going to just be trash. Mm-hmm. So you got to know to like play up a bit. Hold some back, play, hold it back, play, get to power hour, throw the place through the roof,
yeah,
and then close the night.
Especially when people are drunk, that's when they start speaking even louder, because auditory-wise, yeah, you got blocked up. Mm-hmm. So you actually got to speak even louder,
yeah,
than you should. So that's when you play that, the more amped up music.
Think of it this way. Mm-hmm. I see DJ as an art to talk to people. So it's like flirting. Are you picking up anybody at 10:30? Nah, you ain't running game until 12.
Just getting socially 12:30. Yeah.
1 o'clock, seal the deal, bro. Mm-hmm. 2 o'clock, if you don't got it, you don't got it, right? But it's like you work your way through as the night goes on. Mm-hmm. No one sees the girl that's the best in the club at 10:15 and says, I got that now.
It's a wrap.
Right? Yeah. I got that, guys. We can go home.
Yeah.
Done for the night. Like, yeah. No one says it.
Word.
You got to work your game.
Mm.
Ease them into it.
Yeah.
Talk to them a little bit. Offer a drink, maybe. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Conversation. Move along. Mm-hmm. Come back again. you're working them all night, working them all night. See how it goes.
It's funny, no, yeah, it's funny you say that. You know, a lot of women don't realize that guys like are predators in clubs, and they're like thinking, all right, how am I gonna swerve into this?
We're always looking at the angles. How am I gonna...
Sorry. What I mean by that, I mean, not predators in that sense, but in terms of hunting.
We're tacticians.
Tacticians, thank you. Tacticians, you know, and they're conniving away of even making it happen.
Is gonna be,
even conniving is going to be... Even conniving is... My grammar is just horrible today, you know? But yo, let's get into the business of DJing a little bit more. So you said that a company books you out in like long periods of time.
Yes.
Right? What companies are those, and how can new DJs take advantage of that?
There's entertainment companies that book DJs. There's entertainment agencies, there's booking agencies, etc. If you, one, go to events, especially corporate events, ask the DJ how they got there. All right. Hey, did you book this? You know, I'm up and coming, like I'm looking for whatever. How do you get booked for these gigs? Some of them will tell you, I'm through this XYZ company. You can go and talk to them, because if it's a big company, they're going to have lots of events. They're always going to need a DJ. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you only work for them. But if they like you and they have opportunities for you, they will send you offers for gigs. Mm-hmm. You say yes or no. You're still an entrepreneur at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. It's not like a 9-to-5 job where you have to, like they say, you got to be here, 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 and here, and you got to show up every time. You can still yes or no.
Yeah.
Are you free on the 15th of June? No. Okay. On to the next.
Do they try you out as like a DJ?
Some do.
Some do? And what does that look like?
I did a trial run with this company. They took me to an event. They gave me the rundown. I played. The MC liked it. He was like, I'm going to try you out on something else. And it just snowballed from there, right? Sometimes if you've been around for a while and you've been, like if I went now, I'd probably get a referral from one of my other DJ friends. And they'd just be like, yo, this guy's good. You gotta try him out. Mm. But that trial won't be the same like trial that I went through. Mm-hmm. It would be, okay, send us a mix. Or like, are you out somewhere? Or they might send somebody to go check you out at an event, right? Or if I know, hey, I got this wedding booked, you guys should come on over, come check it out.
And scout me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Strategy. What would you tell your youngest self getting to DJing?
Do it earlier. Start earlier. Start way earlier. I started in my 30s. I started when I need to start thinking of an exit plan.
How old are you, bro?
Oh, bro. No, I'm 39.
You're 39?
39, yeah.
Black don't crack, man. You look like 30.
Yeah. I thought it was like 32, 31. Yeah, 32, 33.
No, I go to events and people still think I'm in my 20s. Yeah. I'm like, there's gray in the beard, bro. Like, I'm not that young. Yeah. But yeah. I started at a time when I need to start thinking of an exit plan. I wish I started earlier. Mm. But it wasn't the thing that jumped out at me.
Mm-hmm. So now let's talk about the elephant in the room. You know?
Who, what's that?
The woman as a DJ. How do you deal with the women that approach you as a DJ?
I give them all the time of day. I give them all the time of day.
Interesting.
Women. So, okay, let me put it this way. If someone is physically attracted to me and they are coming on to me, I give them the time of day. Right? If it is a male who is gay, that is like flirting me with whatever, I don't have time of day. Like, stop that. You know what I mean? No. Look, I'm gonna have a song for you, but I better see you dancing. All right? Okay, cool. Like, you flirt with them. You give them the time of day.
Give them the banter.
Yeah. Because if you're just uptight with them, you're just another jerk. Mm-hmm. You're another a-hole. That's it. Doesn't matter if you're good. That DJ has a bad attitude.
That's interesting.
I'm a guy who's interested in women. So when women come up, I give them the time of day. Yeah. Come over here. Here.
They give you some drinks.
Dance right there.
Yeah.
Right there. Gotcha. I got this one's for you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that just keeps me going. It keeps me entertained. It gives them a story. Mm. Me and the DJ, oh my God. That's it. So it's showmanship at the end of the day.
Because at the end of the day, they're there to have an experience.
Exactly.
And you're like the star of the show. Like, you're like controlling the conductor. Vibes. So if you're not vibing back, right? Then like, okay, the DJ's not really vibing. You're like, okay,
what's up? Have you ever been to a party where the DJ was fire and you looked up and you just... And you were still kind of like, you're like, no, I was going out with the DJ.
But they also indulge in the theatrics, right?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Exactly.
They might not be feeling it, but they're like, they have to do it because
you're the
center of the attention.
At the end of the day, you're there to make that person's night good.
Yeah.
Facts. So if you ruin their night, for me, if I ruin one person's night, my night is ruined. Because I take that personally. Mm-hmm. My job is to make you happy. If I ruined your night, I've messed up. Mm-hmm. I'm a failure tonight, right? Mm. I know I can't please everybody, but knowing that I made you have a bad night, I failed. Mm. That's going to eat me up.
That's very interesting. It's kind of in a bit of a way close to a bartender, where if the guy's trying to flirt with a bartender, the bartender gives him a little bit so he can still feel like he's getting a good experience, mm-hmm. you know? And that's very interesting. And that must be something you have to communicate with the women in your life to, you know.
It's definitely a trust thing. Like if you're in a relationship, I've been a DJ in relationships, and it's tricky. Mm-hmm. Because if you're with somebody that, say they're insecure, they might not feel comfortable with it. If it's somebody that just... not necessarily insecure, but if they are worried about just what you might do, or like just the temptation that's out there, right? There's women that are very secure in life, very secure about a lot of things, but it's just seeing that they don't want to see that. Mm-hmm. So it's tough. So it's giving somebody reassurance that this may be me here, but that's Mr. Akil D. Mm-hmm. This is Akil. Two different people, mm-hmm. right? So it's like Lil Wayne says, you know, she wanted Weezy, but Weezy is Wayne, right? Mm. The one and the same, but different at the same time.
And did she get that right away? Like when you guys first started dating, or did it take some time?
The people I've been in relationships with, they've understood. They don't want to hear it, but it's, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to go work somewhere and be miserable? Or do you want me to make this money over here where I only have to work 3 or 4 days a week and can still pay and buy things, right? And then have more time for you during the week. Mm. So it's showing the give and take of it, and not just making it seem like, yeah, you just want to flirt with everybody in the world, right? You just want to be the playboy.
Yeah.
It's different. Risky, but different.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely, man. As Rich was wrapping up, what was the situation with Black Is Now Canada?
Those are my boys. Those are my dogs. Shout out Shamira. Shout out Stefan. Like I said, I started DJing with Shamir. We go back a bit, and you know, and even with them, nothing's given. Just because you have people coming up with positions that they can put you in, nothing's given. I still got to earn my keep, right? So I got my opportunities, and I did what I could. You're going to give me that little time right here? Cool. I am going to shell down this party for Tiff like no one's ever seen in their life. And I just played. I played my heart out. Everyone was like, whoa, what's going on? I thought we were at a corporate party. Why am I in a basement jam right now? Mm-hmm. Right? But they loved it. It was a different energy that no one got. Mm-hmm. So me thinking I'm only going to be on for X amount of minutes turned into start, come off, come back on, play some more. And now I just do more and more of the events with them. Mm-hmm. So it's you can't just take it for granted. You also got to work for it.
Yeah.
No, that's huge. That's huge. So entrepreneurs that are in their silo, you know, consistently working, what advice do you have for them?
Don't stop working, man. It's a process. And even if you're in one field or area right now, don't think that that's not going to relate to something that you switch to later. Because the information and the things that you learn here can help you out over here, right? Some of the things that work for me personally is I've done years of retail being on my feet. So I go to events and some guys are like, how did you stand there for 5 hours? I'm like, there's nothing for me, dude. I mean, you have to clock in an 8-hour shift with no sitting. It's nothing. Then doing radio, working collections, all those type of things. You take a little ounce of everything here and you apply it here, right?
Everything's always relating to each other.
Everything works for everything down the road.
Yeah.
There's always a piece of information that works somewhere down the road. So I even say to a lot of the younger people out there, you might not know what you want to do coming out of high school and going to school. Do something. Do something. Find something that you like. It doesn't have to be the job. It doesn't have to be the job that your parents want you to get. Do something. Because just learning something can relate to something else down the road. You can find where it fits in and apply it to your other job or what you're doing later. Know how to just understand people. Mm-hmm. That's what I got from collections. I know how to understand someone in a bad mood, someone in a spot, right? I walk into a party and I'm like, man, you just look like you're having a rough day. You know what? You think you want to get down and dirty and like rock out on the place, but you just need something soulful. Play something to lift up their spirits, right? Play something that's upbeat but soulful, that resonates to them, right? Just figure it out. You look like you haven't been home in a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let me figure out what makes you feel like you're at home, right? Where are you from? Oh, you're Bayesian. Got it. Cool. I'm not going to go down the road of playing all Bayesian music, but like, let me make you feel like you're at home. You just moved here 2 months ago? Shit. Cartel.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
All right. One thing that I actually want to tap into you for is, you know, you are a natural host. You know, was it always like that for you, or did you gradually get there over time?
Gradually, I would say. Gradually. I never knew what I wanted to be in life. Originally, and coming out of high school, I realized that I liked entertaining, kind of. I liked music,
and you can sing. Like,
I mean, yeah, I can hold a note. I can hold a note. But I looked at it. The story for me is crazy. I left high school not knowing what I wanted to do, and I literally opened a book, and I was like, "Radio is an actual thing I could go to school for."
Just talking,
right? I love radio back. That was the heyday of Flow 93.5.
Yeah,
right. I loved it. I loved everybody that was on air. It was the only thing that interested me. I just went and did it. From there, I got there, and I was like, "Oh, I can. Maybe I am kind of entertaining. I can like talk to people, not be shy sometimes. Okay, you just go through it." Then you meet people, they put you in a spot, put you on stage. And you're like, now you're in front of people. Okay, this doesn't scare me. You just keep going through it. You just find out that like you can naturally get in front of a crowd, talk to people, hold your own, entertain, not curl up in a ball. And like it's part natural. You just didn't know it was natural. But as you got the opportunities, you realize I can do this. Maybe it is natural. But I also had to learn some of the things along the way.
Like what? What are some of those things? Because when it comes to fears, a lot of people fear dying. And that number two fear is speaking in public. You know, what are some of the tactics you use to become a better speaker in public?
I just talk. I just talk. As you talk more in front of people, you realize when people get bored or when they don't want to hear anything else.
You can sense it.
You can sense it. Right? So you just talk. You get up on stage and you talk. You know the things that are going to hit. You can be corny. You can be serious. You can be energetic.
You can be cringe.
You can be cringe. Like, you could be cringe. And sometimes cringe works. Cringe works.
Cringe breaks the ice sometimes.
Cringe works.
It's relatable. Cringe is relatable.
It's tough. You got to go and do it. Mm-hmm. If you don't try it, you'll never know. Some people, I've watched MCs at weddings, like a friend of a friend be the MC at a wedding. They're like, man, I can't do this. I don't like talking in front of people. And they go on the mic and they talk. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You're a natural, dude.
You're nice.
I mean, you can. This could be a job for you, dude. Yeah, like, you can make some money doing this. Mm-hmm. You're good. You can talk. He's like, really? I'm like, just do it, man. Just get up and talk. Ooh. Get up and talk.
Word.
Most definitely.
I also had a thing. I would go on the TTC and do the wildest of things. Be outlandish. Mm. Everyone says, why are you doing that? Behave. My theory was 98% of these people are never going to see me again. So why am I afraid to do whatever now?
It's like approaching a girl, man. You fancy her, go talk to her.
Yeah.
You're not going to see her again if she says no.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Go somewhere wild, middle of the city, Yonge and Dundas Square. Most of those people are never going to see you again in life. Mm-hmm. So whatever you do doesn't matter.
Unless you go to Ryerson.
Unless you go to Ryerson. TMU. Oh, sorry, TMU.
Yo, aren't you that guy?
Yo, I've had that though. I've literally had that.
I've had
someone be like, weren't you that guy on the TTC that time that was in the train station doing da 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 da? I was like, that sounds a lot like me. I think it was me.
Yeah.
I'm like, but small percentage.
Very small percentage.
Small percentage.
Very small, yeah, very small percentage. That's a fact. I actually have had somebody do something crazy on TTC to me too, and I'm like, this will never happen again. And I'll never see this person again, thank God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Crazy, bro. Anyways, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this is what you can't control. So control your grind and control your life. I'm Alex.
And I'm Ono Sinde.
I'm Mr. Akil D. Thanks for having me, you guys.
It's been a pleasure, Akil.
Thank you, man.
That was a great episode, man. Bow.
See you next week.
Yes, sir.